I just wanted to take control of my life a little bit more and not live a life where I would look back when I'm 80 years old and have any regrets.
Hey everyone, my name is Nikki and welcome to the Click Collective podcast, I Started a Business. This show is all about inspiring, encouraging, and motivating e-commerce enthusiasts and entrepreneurs by sharing successful small business stories. Click Collective is the first co-working space built around the needs of an e-commerce community, and we're home to some pretty cool brands. Each episode, we'll sit down with one of our members and chat about their journey, why they started, how they're going, their highs and lows, and everything in between. In this episode, we chat with Fiona Tang, the founder of Fiona Arriva, who left her successful corporate career to embrace her creative side. Fiona, thank you for joining us on our podcast. We always start off with having guests tell us a little bit about themselves and their business.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, Nikki. My name's Fiona, and I am the founder of Fiona Arriva Wax Seals and Calligraphy. Often when people hear that, they say, oh, wax seals and calligraphy, you mean what people did in the ancient days, in the medieval days. And they're often surprised that I built a business on something that they thought was a forgotten craft. But I think in the past few years, wax seals and calligraphy have seen a real resurgence because it's so easy to send a text message or something like that on someone's birthday. But then when you put the time and effort into making your gift or your card a little bit more special, people really appreciate that. That's probably where like most of my customers come from. They're like the people who really enjoy putting effort into making someone else's day.
I love that. I didn't realize, obviously, calligraphy, I know that's kind of quite ancient, but I didn't know that wax seals was an ancient craft.
Yeah, so the history of wax seals dates back to the medieval times where they were predominantly used by noble families to put their crest on legal documents.
Oh, right, okay.
Or seal something up so that once it's cracked, you'll know that it's been tampered with. And yeah, nowadays it's more of a decorative feature that people use for their wedding invitations, gifting and things like that.
Yeah, cool. I was doing a little bit of research because me and you talk quite a lot, I would say almost every day. And I know a lot about what's going on in your current, I guess, business journey. But from the beginning, you actually were an accountant at a very big corporate firm and you decided to leave that to start your business. Tell me about that.
Thinking back to my corporate days, that was my first job straight out of uni. Mm-hmm. And it was the things that you kind of did. You did an internship, and if you were lucky enough to secure a job straight out of university, then you've kind of made it. And looking back at that, I'm not really sure if I thought about what I wanted to do long term. And I guess when you are 19 or 20 and you think about what you want to do for the rest of your life, I just drew a blank. Yeah. And so I just did what everyone else kind of did. And I started climbing up the corporate ladder. I did enjoy what I was doing. So I was doing tax accounting. And one day when I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking about, is this what I really want to do for the rest of my life? I felt that I wasn't pursuing something that made me feel creatively fulfilled.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that I felt I had control over. So if you work in a corporate job, a lot of the time it's your managers and your bosses telling you what you should be doing, where you should be going with your career. And I just wanted to take control of my life a little bit more and not live a life where I would look back when I'm 80 years old and have any regrets.
Yeah. Was there one point in time that you remember just deciding, yes, I'm going to do that? Or had it been leading up for a few months or even years before making that decision?
I think it's living for the weekends that I kind of knew this is what I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
On Thursdays and Fridays, I'll be so excited. Oh, it's the weekend. Then when Sunday rolls around again, I'd feel a little bit down that I'd have to go back to what I would be, the spreadsheets that I'd be working on Monday. And I did a lot of tax return work at the time, which year on year, you kind of look at your previous year to see what you should be rolling over. And a lot of the time the tax treatment is the same. So I kind of felt like, oh, if I've been doing this for the past 3 years, the next 20 years is is this what I'm going to be doing?
Yeah.
And that kind of made me feel like I would definitely have a regret if I didn't try and do something that I was very passionate about.
Yeah. And did you quit your job just like cold turkey, or did you start your side business, grow it up a little bit? How did that all go about?
So while I was working in corporate, I used to put up little post-it notes around my cubicle, written in calligraphy, like little inspirational notes to remind myself about what was important. And when I did resign, it was probably impulsive. Mm-hmm. And luckily at the time I had a really great boss who said, look, Fiona, maybe have a think about this. Maybe take a career break and your job will still be here after a year. And if you feel differently, you can still come back. So I was really lucky to have had that financial security.
Yeah, that's awesome to have a bit of a buffer, give you the freedom to go do what you think you want to do. And if it doesn't work out, you could always go back to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you have any big fears when making that transition, or were you pretty confident in your decision?
So when you're an employee, a lot of the time you have someone else telling you what to do. And if something goes wrong, it's not necessarily your responsibility to fix it. But when you are a business owner, you have to figure out everything yourself if you don't have other founders or support on that side, like marketing, your product development, logistics, how to build a website, how to do your financials. So those things were the things that I found really challenging, that I had to learn everything pretty much by myself, because even though I did do a commerce degree, it doesn't necessarily teach you how to run a business.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of trial and errors, especially during the first few years.
Do you think that having your commerce degree did help a little bit in starting your own business?
I think yes and no. So I majored in accounting and finance.
Yeah.
And I learned the marketing side for running my business once I started running my business. If it were the flip side, so if I had done marketing as my major in commerce, which is what I actually originally wanted to do, but then my Chinese teacher told me I'd never find a job.
Oh.
And then if I had to learn accounting now, I don't think I would be able to do that, just because I feel like I'm much more interested in the marketing side.
Yeah. So you're more likely to kind of like learn that on your own, go out and find new ways to do things.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad that my commerce degree forced me to learn accounting.
Yeah. Do you have any of those fears still today? Like the fact that it is kind of you, you're the business owner. If things go wrong, it's on you. Or have you overcome that a little bit?
I've gotten to a point where I can trust that I can adapt and figure it out, but it still is one of the biggest challenges where, say, if, gosh, something happened to me, or like if I wanted to have kids or go on extended holiday, then my business would stop in terms of there's no one to do the product development, there's no one to do new product launches.
Yeah.
Sure, your employees can help you pack orders and things, but if there's no one driving the business, then it's a lot harder for that business to keep going without me.
And those are some pretty big life moments and changes that you might not be doing because you own a business, or putting it off a little bit. Have you found that?
Exactly. Yeah, those are the things that, how do you say, keep me up at night.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the things that you start thinking about and working on as you continue on your business, is how do you put in processes and systems so that you haven't just bought yourself a job, you've created a business that is an entity of its own.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, that would keep me up at night too.
Yeah.
That's great to know, hearing the corporate to creative side of things. And what about the journey itself? So you've launched in August 2018, which means your business is nearly 5 years old. What's that been like? Does it feel like you've been around for that long, or do you still feel very new and fresh?
Well, I've been at Click Collective for almost a year, and even that hasn't felt like a year.
Yeah.
I feel like as long as you're doing something new every day or frequently, then that keeps it feeling fresh and alive. During the early days of my business, I probably did as much in a year as I probably would do, like, say, in 2 months now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you were sort of learning, you were just learning on the job. So it took a little bit longer, and now you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because in the early days I had to build my website myself, whereas now obviously my website's already built and it's more about optimizing.
So in 2018, what did your website look like? What products were you selling compared to now? Have you changed a lot on that side of things? How has that change been?
My very first products. So I had a collection of 6 wax seals and I made them, I launched it, and I waited for people to come, so to speak, which is completely the wrong way around, because now if I would do it, I would ask my audience what they want to see.
Yeah.
And make sure people are liking what I'm going to bring to my shop before I launch it. Whereas back then I didn't even have product packaging for my wax seals. I never even thought of that. I didn't think about how I was going to ship anything. I just thought that if I made a product, then someone would want to buy it.
Yeah. Can you remember back on your very first sale from someone who wasn't a friend or family?
Yes. And so actually my first few products, they were calligraphy related products. So there were prints and inspirational quotes, which I would foil on my machine at home and list them online. And then I started doing wax seals because it was a trending item on Instagram. And I thought, oh, this looks really fun. I'm going to do this. And then people started asking me, oh, where can I buy that from? And I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is something that I could turn into an extra product for my shop. And then it turns out that most people were more interested in my wax seals than my calligraphy prints.
Yeah.
So slowly over time, I retired the calligraphy print section of my shop, and now I focus mainly on wax seals as products in my e-commerce.
Yeah. Where do you think your first customer came from? Was it social media or Google?
Yeah, definitely social media. Yeah. So during that time, probably around 2017, where that was the crossover between where I was working in corporate and doing my business on my career break, I started posting on Instagram quotes that I'd hand lettering.
Yeah. Just on your personal Instagram, or did you have a business account?
Yes, my personal one.
Yeah.
Which is Fiorina Riva, and that became my business name.
Yeah.
And it was through posting on that that I started getting a following. Back in those days when you posted a video, so before Reels, the engagement would be great and you didn't have to do any fancy TikTok transitions and you'd get a lot of views. So luckily I did have a bit of a following on Instagram before I launched my products.
And when you first started out, did you have someone you could lean on and ask questions, like another small business owner or even just someone in a creative field?
Not really. So most of my friends followed a similar path to what I did originally and ended up in corporate roles as well. So what I had to do was go on Facebook and search up craft groups, business groups, and try to join as many as I could. I did find one where they had regular meetups in the CBD, and so I thought, oh, maybe I should go and join that, which at the time I was terrified because I don't think of myself as a extroverted person who is very good at meeting and making new friends.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I have to keep showing up. And I'm really glad that I did because I met a few people there. And one of the ladies, her name's Mel, she was exhibiting at Finders Keepers, which is a design market in Melbourne, one of the bigger ones. And she said to me, oh, Fiorina, do you want to come along as a stallholder? Because I have a spare ticket and you can just tag along with me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity just to see how it's run from a stallholder's point of view, because I'd been before as a customer, but I'd always thought that having my own stall at Finders Keepers would be just
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. But also I was just so scared of how I would ever get there. It just seemed like out of my reach.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to go along with her and see how it's run, it kind of demystified it a little bit for later down the track when I applied for Finders Keepers and did my own store there.
Did you sell products at the time or did you just go along with her?
I just went along with her just to see the vibe, see who else was there as a stall holder and just have a good day.
And then you were just in Finders Keepers. It was this last year?
Yeah.
2022?
Yeah.
How did that go?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just to see myself set up with people who I'd admired for so long and to be able to have customers come who I talked to online but who'd I never met in person.
Yeah.
And to be able to meet them and hear a little bit about their crafting journeys, that was really a highlight.
That would be very special. How do you typically find your customers, or how do they find you? Is it through social media, or is it through, I know you've got an Etsy page as well. Where does your customer base usually come from?
From a lot of different channels. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like from Instagram, Facebook, Google, sometimes through markets, through wholesale websites and through stockists.
Oh yeah. I know that you do sell to other online or to other retailers. When did that start?
That probably started when I got my packaging done properly. Yeah. So it looks pretty on a shelf.
How long was that in the business journey? A couple years?
Yes. I would say probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
And they just found me through Instagram and Google, and I have a page on my website that I set up for wholesale applications.
Yeah.
They come through. Luckily, I haven't had to reach out myself mm-hmm. to too many. I have done that, mostly crickets, but that's okay. That's all part of business.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really failures, more like setbacks.
Is there like a number one retailer you'd love to be able to sell in? That's your goal?
Maybe overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere like Japan, just Ooh. Because I know that they take their stationery really seriously.
Yeah.
I've been to Itoya, which is probably a 14 or something story stationery store.
Wow.
They have a dedicated wax seal section, like almost half the whole floor.
How long did you spend in the store?
Too long. I came home
did you buy
too
stuff?
Many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff that you could sell or just personal?
Personal,
yeah.
And just to see what everyone else in the space is doing. A lot of things you can't get in Australia as well.
Okay. What kind of stuff was different over there?
Like even say Hallmark, this
yes.
Hallmark Australia, Hallmark Japan, and you'd think if it's all under the Hallmark brand, they'd be able to sell it in other countries,
yeah.
but yeah, you can't.
Okay. I guess they've got their little niche markets over there and try to do different things.
Yeah.
And aside from selling your wax seals, you also have created a calligraphy workbook and you do tons of engraving and calligraphy services at places like Tiffany and Prada. When did that all come about?
So that came about when someone on Instagram reached out to me. She was a stranger at the time, but now we've become very good friends. I'm Laura from the Ink Studio. Mm-hmm. And I was the very first person that she reached out to because she was based in Sydney and I was based in Melbourne. And the brand that we were working with wanted someone to be able to do calligraphy on macarons for a Valentine's Day promotion both
yeah.
in Melbourne and Sydney. So the two of us started doing that. And from there, she grew her business. And now she's got artists and calligraphers all across Australia doing events multiple times a year, and we've done some really incredible things like engraving on perfume bottles, candles, lipsticks, personalizing sneakers. I'm always fascinated with the ideas that brands have come up with, and I'm really grateful to Laura that she's taken me along this journey with her.
I heard today from somebody that, is it true that you, I don't know the correct word, but did you apply to be the mud cake writer or a calligraphy for mud cakes at Woolies?
Yeah, so that was another job that Laura asked me if I was interested in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it did fall through, but the idea was that they had a machine that could mimic the hand of a calligrapher.
Oh,
so
wow.
Using icing that would follow the calligrapher's hand as they wrote a particular word like Happy Easter.
Yeah.
And then the machine would be able to write like a calligrapher on the mud cakes, which would then be stocked in Woolies and Coles.
Wow. And that just didn't go ahead?
No, unfortunately not, but hopefully there will be some amazing opportunities like that.
Yeah, well, it seems like you've already got tons of opportunities. And even recently you were talking about doing some embroidery. someone reached out, and that's not something you typically do, but as a creative person, you're now dabbling in that.
Yes. So once you work with brands, a lot of the time they like to keep it fresh. So they ask you, oh, okay, you've done engraving. Okay, what else can you do on our products? Mm. So this luxury client, they sell perfume, but then they also sell scarves and pouches and things like that. So a few other things that they could have done is they could have done some gold foiling on the pouches, but one of their ideas was to do embroidery, the customers' names or initials mm-hmm. on those pouches. So that would be really special for Mother's Day.
A woman of many talents. Tell me about the creative side of the business. Obviously, the products you sell itself are very creative products. And on your social media, you're always using your products and showing your followers how to use them. How do you get the ideas to do all of these different types of reels or posts or ideas?
I love sharing what I do for my friends and family. So if I have a birthday that's coming up, I'll think about, oh, how do I gift wrap this in a really special way and maybe come up with, say, a gift wrapping technique that not a lot of people have seen. And so if I'm already wrapping a gift and writing a card, you know, why not film it and share it mm-hmm. and share these ideas with my community? A lot of the time my community also posts and share their own projects, which I get inspiration from as well. So it's really a two-way inspirational street.
Yeah. It must not always come easy to be coming up with these ideas. What do you do when you're just stuck? You feel like you've done everything. Who do you look to aside from your followers doing their own projects?
You know what's funny? Sometimes I just film what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Like if I'm packing orders mm-hmm. or I'm setting up for a market stall or something like that. And sometimes those are the videos that people really love to see because it shows you what you might ordinarily not be able to see.
Yeah.
And then on other days, if I'm really feeling uninspired, then I will probably just not post anything.
Yeah.
Or I'll ask Amelia, my staff member, to come up with something.
Yeah.
So I definitely am not the endless well of creativity, that's for sure.
I remember seeing one of your posts, I think it was a reel about how to use the wax stirrer, and I feel like you probably would have never thought you needed to show people how to use it, but maybe people had questions or you just thought, why not?
Yeah. And people actually found that really fascinating as well, because I thought it was something that would be really boring, but then people loved it. They're like, oh, I've never seen something like this. This is so clever.
I love that. And on your reels, you're always doing stuff using the wax seals and the stamps, which I believe you create your own stamps.
Yeah. So what I do is I ask my audience, what do they want to see? So a lot of the designs are ideas that my audience have. So for example, maybe someone wants to see a reindeer stamp, and then it will be up to me to kind of come up with, okay, what are the reindeer designs that are already out there, and how do I make myself different?
Yeah.
Because there's no point making something that's already out there.
And how quickly does that process happen? Because if someone says they want reindeer and it's December and it's going to take a few months to come up with a stamp, do you still go with that, or is it a quicker process than I'm imagining?
So luckily I have a whole spreadsheet with all the ideas and suggestions that people have put through.
Yeah.
And depending on how many designs I'm going to release for, say, Christmas, I'll work backwards and say, okay, if this design roughly takes me this amount of time to design, then when should I get started? And normally I start thinking about Christmas probably in like July, et cetera, because I do want to get feedback from my community on which designs are the most popular and whether these are the sorts of designs that they had in mind, because a lot of the time I found myself trying to be a little bit too clever, like trying to do two-in-one designs. And sometimes people just want something that's simple.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to get feedback.
So you do your own stamps. Do you sell any stamps that aren't yours on your website, or are they all Fiona Arriva stamps?
They're all mine for now, but down the track, I do want to collab with other artists because I have a lot of calligraphy friends and artist friends. So I would love to collaborate with them at some point.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Have you learned how to use a CNC machine to do your stamps?
Yes. So a CNC machine, what it does is it reads certain code to know where to move left and right, how fast to move, how fast to spin up and down, etc.
Yeah.
So that's one sort of software. Then the software before that is the digitalized artwork file,
yeah,
where it has to be turned into vector pathways. And then before that, that's where I like to sketch on my iPad,
mm-hmm,
because when you sketch on the iPad, it digitalizes the strokes that you draw and makes it easier for the computer to then convert into the pathways that the machine will need to read to be able to do the actual engraving.
Yeah. So it's like not a simple process at all. It's coming up with an idea, drawing it out, creating it on
software,
the iPad.
Yeah.
How did you learn how to use like those tools in projects? Did you teach yourself or did you do courses?
YouTube.
Oh.
YouTube is your best friend, and Google, and
yeah,
reading forums. And if all else fails, ask an expert.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. I love that.
Also a long process.
Yeah. How do you find your designs? How are they unique compared to other people who might be doing wax seals and stamps?
I guess I like to make things difficult for myself, to try and make the design a little bit clever.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not that's better or for worse, sometimes I think it's for worse, because I had this design, it was called the Moon Girl, which I absolutely loved, and I tried to be really clever by having the girl's hair turn into clouds and her skirt turn into stars.
In a small stamp.
Yes, in a small stamp.
Yeah.
And I loved it, but I kind of feel like maybe my audience felt like they couldn't find an application where this design would be relevant,
yeah,
for their project.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was because when I was sketching it, it looked great with all the details, but once it gets engraved, a lot of that detail can be lost. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nowadays I like to show the design beforehand and say, mm-hmm, look, is this something that you guys would be interested in?
Yeah, because I guess it's one thing to have like a super cool, beautiful stamp, but where are people going to use it? Like,
yeah,
they might not be using that if they're doing wedding invites or birthday invites. I'm sure there are a lot of other creative people who maybe wax seal, stamp a lot of things they do. So I guess keeping that in mind as well.
Yeah, exactly.
How often, how it will be used and how often. Do you have a favorite stamp you've created or a favorite color combo that you like to use?
Oh, I think my favorite stamp would have probably been the very first stamp that I ever created, which was the wildflower one. And
yeah,
that's probably been one of my customers' most favorite ones too, and it's probably because it's a bunch of wildflowers and it's great for all occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it for birthdays, weddings.
Yeah. Did you say that was one of your first stamps?
Yeah, probably one of my very first designs, definitely in the very first collection.
Have you ever looked back on it and thought you just want to make tiny little tweaks and relaunch it, or you just love it, you're happy?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I was actually thinking of turning a variation of that into a mini stamp.
Oh.
Yeah, so that is potentially a next release.
I love that. And what about your favorite typeface for calligraphy?
My favorite typeface for calligraphy? I'm not sure if I really have one.
Mm-hmm.
I do like things that are classic but with a bit of a little twist.
Mm-hmm.
Like say if you had a serif font but then it also had elements of really curly calligraphy script. I'm not sure if such a typeface exists, but it's like the traditional fonts with a modern twist, which I guess is kind of similar to my whole business, like wax seals, which is a traditional craft.
And
I've put my own modern twist on it.
I guess that's the benefit of doing what you do, is you can just create your own typefaces as well.
Exactly. I should turn my calligraphy script into a font.
Yes, absolutely. Thinking back now, so you've had your business for 5 years. Do you think you would have changed your path earlier on in life, like changed what you studied in university, or are you kind of happy with how your journey's turned out?
If I were to go back to uni, I would probably have tried to find a part-time job working with another business in the e-commerce space so that when eventually I wanted to start my own business, I would have had a better idea of how to do things rather than having to trial and error it all myself.
Yeah.
But I will say that I'm glad that I did a three-year course because by the time
Three-year small business course?
A three-year commerce degree.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. By the time I'd been working full-time in corporate for about 4 or 5 years, I was still only around 25 or 26, so starting a new career wasn't as big of a deal as opposed to if I had a mortgage and a family and responsibilities that might have kept me tied to that.
It'd be a little bit riskier to make that move.
Yeah.
What have been some of your most memorable moments since starting your business?
The most memorable moment probably would have been in the early days when I had just started to venture into the world of calligraphy and I had a friend who worked in a law firm and was running a charity night and asked me to donate artwork to be auctioned off.
Oh.
And so I thought, okay. So I wrote, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn.
Yeah.
In calligraphy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, okay, if it goes for maybe $40, $50, I'll be super happy.
Yeah.
And I remember she sent me a screenshot of the results and it sold for $300.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was on the bus at the time and I was shaking. I just couldn't believe it. And that was probably the turning point where I thought, oh, wow, someone believes in me and sees value in my work when I don't even see it.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave me the motivation to try and turn it into a business.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Do you have a picture of that?
I do have a screenshot of that somewhere. Yeah. I should print it
out. It's not on your phone background or in your warehouse space.
Well, it's funny because I've actually retired that side of my business, so I don't do any calligraphy prints anymore.
Mm-hmm. But would you bring them back? Like, is there a reason you don't do that?
It just wasn't popular.
Yeah.
Like, I guess people love custom things, but then for me to do a custom print, it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that it's much harder to build a business that way.
Yeah. I guess you need to sell products that people want to buy.
Yeah,
otherwise
to be scalable. Yeah.
And what keeps you going? How do you stay motivated to keep growing your business? And do you want to keep growing or are you happy with where you're at now?
I would love to get to a stage where the business kind of runs itself and I can take a bigger step back and it can continue to grow without me.
So probably hiring a few people.
Yes, hiring
marketing.
People. I do have some help with marketing.
Yep.
So people who help me run my ads, freelancers, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of strategic direction, I would love to have some help in that area. Although that is probably my favorite part of the business. So having said that, I don't know if I would want someone to take away my most favorite part of the job.
What would you say is your least favorite part? What would you happily hand over to somebody?
Probably some of the more menial tasks, like putting together all our wax kits together, making all of our stock, etc. Luckily, I do have a staff member to help me with that. I actually do really enjoy packing orders because I love seeing what people choose to put in their basket and just making it really special for their unboxing experience because I know that they're going to be looking forward to receiving their parcel.
Mm, absolutely. And looking ahead, what are some of the goals and plans you have this year?
So I would love to keep improving, optimizing what I'm currently doing, have some work-life balance.
Yeah. Take another holiday.
Yeah, just keep creating designs that people want to see, work with brands and do some cool projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever comes at me, I'm ready for it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us today, Fiona. It was so great to learn more about your story.
Thank you for having me, Nikki.
Want to know more about where Fiona runs her business?
Click Collective is a warehousing and co-working space built around the needs of an e-commerce community. On site, we have spaces for your warehouse, office, showroom, logistics, and a photography space, so we're a one-stop shop to run your business. You can head to our website to know more at clickcollective.com.au or check out our Instagram at clickcollective.